call from Hire My Caregiver.
Home care, this is Haya. How can I help you?
You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't want home care, but is there a number I can call to get? I need some information on doing a waiver, a Medicaid waiver.
Okay.
Do you have a number I can call?
I believe you should reach out to Medicaid directly.
Okay. Do you have their number?
I can give that to you. And wouldn't you want Medicaid for the patient you're enrolling in the waiver program? Wouldn't you want home care?
Yes. My mom is in a nursing facility right now, but she's being discharged as of tomorrow. But I know it's too late to get it started right now. But what do I need to do on my end to apply for Medicaid?
Sure. So your mom, you want to apply your mom in the Medicaid waiver program?
Yes.
Okay, we can actually help you with that. And would you like to work with?
But can you, I'm not sure if I'm talking to the right people or not. I've never done this before, so I need some information.
Sure. So you need the waiver program in order to be able to have home care services?
And to do that, what if I just want to apply for Medicaid for her to go into for a long-term care facility?
Oh, so you would have to call Medicaid directly. Let me give you their phone number.
Okay, hold on a second.
And you're in Philadelphia?
Yes, I am. Okay, I'm ready.
All right. So the number I got here is 1-877.
Mm-hmm.
395-8930. I'm going to give you another number. I'm not sure which one's the correct one.
Because I think I spoke to them. Mm-hmm. The number you just gave me.
Oh, you spoke already? Okay, let me give you the local Philadelphia number. That would be 215.
Mm-hmm.
560.
570?
No, 560.
Mm-hmm.
7226.
Now, is this the general number? Even
yes.
If I want to do a waiver, what exactly is a waiver? You said so I could get home health services, right?
Yeah. So the waiver basically is an approval from Medicaid once you already are with Medicaid. And they help you with physical or mental assistance. And that goes according to the patient's disabilities and qualifications. So if you tell me you want to Okay.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
So if you want to sign up your mom for the waiver in order for her to get home care services, then we can help you with the sign-on process for Medicaid and waiver.
Okay. Okay,
well,
let's do that first. Yes.
Perfect. Okay, sure. So we're actually going to guide you step by step, and we're going to get you on the program.
Okay, one second. The nursing home is on the phone. One second, please. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't get you back. I'm sorry.
No problem. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Perfect. Okay. So what is your mom's date of birth?
12/9/1929. Okay. And what is her first name?
Marion.
Is that M-A-R-I-A-N?
M-A-R-I-O-N. Williams.
Okay. Williams.
Now, this is for the Medicaid waiver, am I correct?
Yes, I'm just pulling up the Medicaid information to see where she's up to.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So I see that she had Medicaid in the past, but it's currently inactive. So we're going to help you reactivate it, and we're going to help you get her onto the waiver program. Will she be discharged from the nursing home? Is she going to be coming home?
That's another question. We're not sure yet because her heat isn't working, and gas company's going to come out to her house this afternoon. My brother's there right now. So if they could fix it, all well and good. If they can't, we're going to have to get a new heater, and that's not going to happen overnight. I know that.
Mm-hmm. So you're not sure yet if she's going to be coming home?
I'm not sure when she's going to be coming home. Won't be tomorrow, maybe Saturday. Okay.
Oh, that's okay. But if she's going to come home in the near future, then it's not too late to sign her up for services. So let's start the process. So once she's home, we can get her home care as soon as possible. And would you want to work for her and get paid?
I can't do it.
Okay. Any other family member or friend that would want to do it?
I do have a friend that would do it. Okay. I'm sorry. What's your name?
My name is Chaya.
I'm sorry. What is it?
Chaya. That spells C-H-A-Y-A.
Okay, yeah. The thing is, I'm not sure if she's going to go home or if she's going to come to either my house or my brother's house. Depends on if we can get her heat working. She cannot go there if the heat is not working.
Right. Okay, so that's okay. You don't have to know now where she's going to be going. But first, let's start working on her Medicaid. So once she is settled, she has the care she needs, right?
Now, just so you know, she has money in the bank.
Okay.
She has more than the $8,000 allowance. She exceeds that.
Oh. But does she currently have any monthly income?
Yes, she has Social Security, and she gets her pension and her husband's pension.
Okay. Do you know how much?
The total. Let me see. I wrote it down somewhere. Okay, her pension, his pension is $645.37. Her Social Security is $504.20, and her pension is $193.
Okay, that is still below the limit for Medicaid, so she could still get Medicaid for that amount.
What's the limit?
The limit is around $2,900, so she's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't worry about that. Okay, so let me just take some basic information, and then I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to transfer you to an intake specialist, and she's going to guide you further, step by step, what needs to be done.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, no problem. Okay, and you said your mom is currently in a nursing home, and what are her disabilities? Diagnosis?
Right now she's having issues walking. She's getting occupational and physical therapy. Her current diagnosis for being in the hospital, she was in Einstein, and they transferred her from Einstein to Willowcrest, but they're a short-term facility. And her last cover day is today. We're going to have to work with that, to bump it up for at least maybe Saturday or something, because we weren't expecting this. They originally told us next Friday would be her last cover day, and insurance changes from next Friday to this Friday.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's strange. Wow, I hope you're going to be able to get this settled soon.
I hope so.
I'm happy that we're going to be able to help you out with the home care. So does she have a phone number that I can put on file for her?
I'll give you my number.
Okay. What is it?
267.
Mm-hmm.
872.
Mm-hmm.
6323.
Okay. Any additional phone number that I can have on file? Maybe your brother's number?
No, he's not. He's not dependable. He won't even answer the number if the phone if he don't recognize the number.
Oh, do you have any additional number to have on file or no?
No, that's it. Just mine.
Okay. And then you said you wanted to sign up your friend to work for your mom.
I have to talk to her because this wasn't planned. You know, our plans changed since they changed the last cover day from next Friday to this Friday. We weren't planning on this, so it's last minute for all of us.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. So I'm going to give you time to talk to your friend. So I'm putting in the system that you're going to bring your own aid, but if you decide that you see once the patient is already with Medicaid that you want us to find an aid for you, then we're going to help you with that as well. Okay?
Okay. But my mom don't have Medicaid. You say you saw her in the system?
Right, she doesn't have. It's inactive, but we're going to help you reactivate it.
But she had it at some point, you saying?
She did, yes.
Oh, that's news to me.
Yep. She did have Medicaid. I'm not sure when, but she has a Medicaid ID, so, yeah.
Okay.
All right. And what is your mom's address?
6903 Ogontz, OGONTZ Avenue.
Okay.
And that's Philadelphia, PA 19138.
Perfect. I got it here. And which county is that in?
Philadelphia.
Okay. Are there any minors present in her home?
No.
Good. So I got all information that I need, and now I'm going to go ahead and see if there's an intake specialist available to take your call. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry, just taking a minute while I'm entering all the information.
Sure. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Just one moment. I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you were saying something to me.
Oh, no, sorry. Okay, perfect. Shira is available to take your call. So I'm going to go ahead and transfer you over. She's going to guide you further. Okay?
And what's her name, Kira?
Shira, S-H-I-R-A.
Oh, Shira. That's my daughter-in-law's name, Shira.
Oh, that's so nice. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem. Have a great day.
You as well.
Hello, Family First. This is Shira from Family. Who am I speaking to?
My name is Stella Gilchrist. Your name is S-H-I-R-A?
That's right, yeah. This is Stella, right?
Yes, and my daughter-in-law name is Shira. She pronounces it as Shira, but you pronounce it as Shira.
Yeah, yeah. There's no L.
Oh. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good.
Okay, very good. So let me just get I'm not getting any notes, so I guess my colleague just spoke to you, Chaya. She just, I guess, transferring you over because you're interested in continuing the enrollment program?
Yes.
Okay, is there any information you'd like
to know?
So
when you say considering, Shira, I'm not used to this, so I'm new to this whole process.
Okay.
So when you say you're going to get the intake of me enrolling in what?
What? I'm sorry, what were you? What did you say? I didn't hear you.
No, what did you say? You said you're going to get information to enroll me in what?
I'm saying what? Okay, so you were just transferred over. I'm saying, I'm guessing because you're interested in hearing about the waiver program, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What do you know about it so far? Is it for you? Is it for a family member? Tell me a little bit. Tell me, like, who is it for?
It's for my mom. Right now she's in Willowcrest. She's in the skilled nursing facility for rehab. And she's 96 years old. Originally, Humana said her last cover day would be next Friday. They changed it from next Friday to tomorrow. So I'm just getting some general information on how to sign, how to do the waiver.
Okay. So first off, she would need to be home either with you. Is she going to come back to live with you?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So let me give you some
information. If it's not me, she will go back to her. I'm sorry?
Let me give you some information. I don't know. You said she's in a facility right now, right?
Right, and we're not sure if we're going to take her home tomorrow or either Saturday.
Oh, but she is for sure coming home.
Because they changed her last covered day, so this is putting us in a bind. We have to try to find something as soon as possible. The thing was, if she goes home, right now her heat isn't working. We're waiting for the gas company to come check out her heater. If she has to buy a new heater, she can't go there. That's a whole different process. She's going to have to get a new heater if they can't fix hers. So I'm waiting for them to come and my brother to call me back and let me know what the outcome is. So I'm not sure where she's going to go at this point. She's going to come to my house or go back home.
Okay, that's fine. We don't need an answer for that either. You know, we just need to know that she's not in any facility within the next week. Why I say this is because we want to try and get her onto the program if you are interested. And that the program only happens when a participant is at home or living in a home, not in a rehab or a facility. So I was just clarifying. Okay?
Okay.
So to get onto the waiver program, it does take some time. It's not like a one-week, two-week process. It will take some time. But essentially what it is if she's approved, she can choose a family member, a friend, or a neighbor to be the caregiver for her. And we would process the payments and make sure they're getting paid every single week and, you know, that kind of thing. In order for her to get onto the waiver, she has to go through a series of medical assessments and then provide financial information to the county, which is something we help you out with every step of the way. So it sounds like a lot, but it's really very straightforward. It's doable, and that's basically it. Now, I can go into more detail as to what it's going to entail, but before I do that, is there anything else you'd like to know?
No. Just you can tell me, but just so you know, I already applied for 5 years of statements, look back time 5 years from Citizens Bank. She also has another bank account at Santander, and they won't give me no information right now. So I'm going to talk to my son and see if he could do it online, because I'm sure he could create an account and ask for statements that way, because you're going to need statements, right, for 5 years?
Yeah, how did you know? That's awesome that you know that already. But how? Who told you about that?
You wouldn't believe. I've been talking on the phone for 3 weeks now, and I'm familiar with. I know about the look back time. I know about if she has. You can have no more than $8,000 maximum in your account. She exceeds the $8,000. So I know to get on this program, she has to do a spin down. Am I correct?
That's very correct, and I'm so excited that you're educated about it. Most people that call don't really understand a lot of this, so I'm happy you know what you're talking about and you know what you're calling about. It's a good sign.
Okay.
So let me give you some more information just so you have more clarity and where you're holding with everything, okay?
Okay.
Like you know, it is a program that the state provides. They provide the financial aid for it. So in order to make sure everybody, whoever wants the services really needs it, they put them through this process. So you're talking about the financial information that you're going to need to provide, but before then, your mom is going to have to go through the assessments to see if she's medically approved, which I'm sure you've heard of, with the broker and Maximus. She's going to need to have an assessment with them. They come down to the house, and then she's going to need to provide a doctor's note, which I will talk to you about in a minute, and then after that she has another assessment with Area and Aging. Once that's all completed, all the information gets sent down to the county. The county then evaluates and requests financial information. Now, I know you're telling me about the bank statements. There is a list of paperwork she may need to provide, depending if it pertains to her case. And then once all that information is into the county, they review the case, they'll have an insurance come down, provide another assessment, determine her hours. Once she gets approved the hours, they create something called an authorization that gets sent to us that allows us to help you out. Now, I don't mind going over that list of financial information, so if there's more than just the statements you need to get, you can start doing that. My job is, because I know the ins and outs of this program and I know what you have to do to get onto the program, it's really to just walk you through our process. And, you know, we're not out to get you or anything. At the end of the day, you do what most comfortable with. I'm just here to provide clarity for you and, you know, answer any questions that may arise for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
So do you mind, should we go down the list of financial information and we'll see what pertains to her?
Go right on ahead. I'm going to write this down as you speak.
Okay. And I could also have it write it down and send you a report also, so whatever works best for you. I just want to also just provide just some clarity for a second. This step of getting the financials doesn't happen until after all the assessments. So most people don't even start looking at it at this point in the process, but it's something new that we are doing is we are doing it in the beginning, so you guys are just prepared. So just keep it in mind, it may sound very overwhelming at first and with all the assessments happening at the same time, but I'm really here to help you manage everything. When I tell you it's so doable and so many people like quit halfway because it sounds like a lot, it's doable, it sounds like a lot, but very, very easy to get qualified for, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, let's go down that list. So I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm reading off the list that was provided from the county, so these are not our questions. All information gets sent to the county. We don't use your information for anything. Everything is very protected, and we barely get anything anyway, so it's really just strictly protected. So first off, my first question for you is, has your mom been married?
Yes.
Okay. Is she currently married, or has she been divorced?
She is a widow.
She's a widow. Okay. Does she own a home, property, or anything like that?
She does own a home, yes.
Okay. So they're going to need the deed to her residence. That's one of the piece of paperwork they're going to need if she owns a home. They're going to need the deed of that home.
Now, what if two people's name is on the deed? Because my brother's a power attorney. His name is on the deed, too.
So it's not, if it's strictly, if it's your mom, first off, if it's your mom's, if it's under your mom and your brother's on it, then it shouldn't be a problem. But she has to, she's the owner, right?
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, no, it's just, yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
So they're going to need a deed to the residence. Now, this is not something that, my next question isn't something that's on the list, but it's for you. You do know what happens if your mom, you know, in time when she does move on. Do you know, is there a will or trust explaining who the house goes to?
Yes, there is a will.
Okay. And it states where the house, what happens to the house and everything, right?
I don't have the will in my, I don't have it with me right now. My brother has it because he's the power of attorney.
Okay, but I'm asking you this only because sometimes when a participant moves on and there's no family or they own the house and there's no legal paperwork stating that the house is getting transferred out of the name into a child's name or whatever, the county can be a little bit problematic in that time.
Okay, I think the will does specify that.
Okay, as long as you know that, and I'm putting it on record that I told you that, so there's not going to be any issues. Okay.
I'm speaking off the top of my head. I don't have the will in my possession right now, but I think it does specify. I'll talk to my brother later and see.
Okay, it's important that you find out if you know where the house is going to when she's no longer alive. Okay. And if you guys do know where it is, it's put down in some legal document, either a trust or a will, okay?
Okay.
Next, does she have a burial account agreement at all?
Does she have what kind of agreement?
A burial account agreement.
Yes, she does.
Okay.
Yes.
They're going to need the irrevocable and revocable statement of irrevocability, I think that's what they need. Yes, that's what I'm reading here. They need the statement of irrevocability, value, and date created. Okay? So far she needs a deed to the house. She needs the burial account agreement. She's going to need the value and date it was created and the statement of irrevocability. Okay?
You say irrevocable and vocable?
I'm going to send you a text message after our call, and I'm going to send you all this in a list that you have to get, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Next, she's going to need, does she have any life insurance?
Yes.
Okay, so she's going to need the face value and cash value of all life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me just see. I'm putting this down here. Okay. She's going to need, does she own any cars?
No.
Okay. Okay, so you got financial statements. Now let me ask you some questions. Did you get, this is the statement I'm going to say is needed, and you're going to tell me, you'll let me know what you got, okay? She needs semi-annual statements from 2020 to 2023. So that looks like January and June statements for all 3 years from 2020 to 2023, semi-annual. So that's 6 statements total. Do you have – was that put in the order?
Okay, wait. The statements from where? Bank statements?
Bank statements, correct.
So you think you need – what statements do you need?
So from 2020 to 2023, we need semi-annual statements. That means just January and June.
From 20 to 2023, semi-annual statements.
Yeah, which is January and June, if we're being specific. So that's 6 statements
January
total.
January and June, 6 statements total.
Yes. Right, because it's...
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's, you know what, I'll be very honest with you. Specifically this case, I mean, because she has a burial account, life insurance, deed, I mean, all that is a lot of paperwork. I don't usually have someone who has everything. So you so far have a lot of stuff to gather. But again, I'll help you out. It's doable, okay?
All right.
Now, we're not done just yet, unfortunately. She's also going to need from 2023, okay, to present all statements. So every month.
From 20 to present, all statements.
Correct. That means every month.
Okay.
All right. After that, let me see. Does she have a retirement account, 401k, anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Does she get Social Security?
Yes.
Okay, Social Security. We're going to need the award letter for that Social Security that she gets. Okay?
When you say award letter, you mean the statements that they get every year?
Probably that's the same thing, but I'm not sure. It's just an award letter that she should have gotten right when she started getting Social Security, stating that she's starting to get it. Okay?
Okay.
Now, does she have pensions, annuities, rental homes, dividends, interest, wages, anything like that?
She has one pension of her own and my father's pension.
She gets your father's pension?
Yes.
Okay. And husband's pension. Is that okay? Does that usually happen when the spouse dies, they're allowed to get the other spouse's pension?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool, I never knew that. Okay. Was there any bank accounts closed from 2020 to 2026 in her name?
Closed?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Fine. Let's see here. She wasn't divorced. Anything like that.
She's a widower.
She's a widow, okay. So, that's a lot of information.
A widow.
Let me ask you something. Her monthly income with her pension, with her late husband's pension, and her Social Security, what is her monthly income?
I don't know, but it's less than $2,900.
Okay, because if it was the exact amount, I'll give it to you just so you're aware, is 2,982 income limit. It can't be over that. Okay?
No, she's not over that.
Okay. Now, if she has no savings, she has less than 8,000 in her savings, correct?
She has more than 8,000 in her savings.
She has more than 8,000 in her savings?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mm-hmm. That is going to be a problem.
That's what I told the girl originally. She has more. She exceeds the $8,000.
She exceeds. Do you know how much? If it's a couple thousand or it's a significant amount?
It's not a real big astronomical amount, but it far exceeds.
Far exceeds. Uh-huh. Is she...
So this is where the spend down comes into place, right?
Yeah, but you can't use a spend down for everything. Like if it's used for medical, then that's more likely to get approved. But it's very touchy when they exceed the savings. Then what's happening is they see the account, right? So if you do the spend down and if you transfer some of that money out, they still need to know where that money is going to, right? So if it's going to medical.
I understand. You have to show proof where it went to. You have to have receipts.
Yeah, correct. I mean to say if it's going to, I don't know, maybe fixing the house or I don't know so much. I would have to speak to my supervisor to get more information on how
like,
they would.
Like right now, she might need a new house heater, so I could use that because it's being used for her stay, at her home. Or if we hire someone to come take care of her right now, we could use it for that as part of suspending. So I did find that child out that much.
You did find, okay. Did you find that out specifically from a county representative? Because whoever, you want to make sure that wherever you're finding it out is being accurate, because you don't want to go through that whole thing and still be at square one, you know?
Okay, I'm not, I did talk to someone, but I've talked to so many people. I'm writing a book right now. I have right now, I have 8 pages of information,
okay.
And I will have to go back and look at it.
Okay, okay. You want to make sure I can try and go through it if you'd like and tell you what makes sense and what's complete baloney, because there's a, you know, I want to make sure you know what's right and you're making a educated decision, you know. It's hard with these stuff. There's so much out there.
Okay,
but,
so can you put that, I'm not going to write anything down, so can you put that in the information that you're going to send me?
Yeah, yeah, I'm still waiting. I don't even know if I should even, like, I don't even know if you should honestly be getting the financials, if we should even apply if she has over 8,000, because if it's not handled correctly, they're just going to deny her, and it's going to be, you went through all this for what, you know?
I was told that if we don't use the money, like say if she has over the allowance, which she does, over $8,000,
mm-hmm.
we can use it, we should have to spend down. We can use it for care for her. Like right now, she needs a heater. We know not to transfer money out into another account or to just transfer money to someone else. We know that because everything she spends from this point forward, she would have to approve and she would have receipts.
Right. So if it's, like I said, if it's medical, then they – here's my question to you. Is she able to spend enough money that it reaches 8,000 or – 7,500?
It depends on what we spend it on. I'm not sure what we're spending on. It would, one thing for sure, it would be for her care for someone to come in and take care of her. I know that for sure.
Okay, so I have an idea. Let me just put you on a brief hold, okay? I won't be long. Just
mm-hmm.
stay connected. I'm going to put, I won't, you know, I'll be with you in a minute or so. I want to just find something out for you, okay?
Okay.
So hold tight. 1 second, please.
Okay.
from my understanding, in New York, they have something called a PIT, which is a pooled interest trust. So they can put that money in something like a trust, and it basically kind of hides the money. I wonder, did you hear anybody recommend that to you, to put the money in a trust for her?
No. Trust to who?
I'm sorry?
You said entrust to who?
It's not entrust.
For her.
It's not entrusted. It means put it into a trust. It's like a will. If you're putting the money in a trust.
For someone else, you mean?
No, for herself.
For someone else.
No, if it's her.
Oh, no, I never heard of that.
Yeah, no, she could put it in a trust, and it kind of protects the money for her. Now, I know this is something that's done in New York. I'm not sure in Pennsylvania if it could hold the same power here.
So how can I find out?
Let me talk to a colleague. Let me talk to my supervisor. Let me get in touch with some people who deal with this, and then I can probably give you some more information.
Okay, you going to call me back?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be in touch with you. Right now you said your mom's in a facility, right?
Right, but she's going to be discharged either tomorrow or Saturday.
Okay, what's her name?
Marion, Marion Williams.
Okay, I'm going to be in touch with you Monday. I should be in touch with you Monday. I hope to have more information for you. Okay, and by then she should be home, so whatever
okay.
we need to start, we can start. Now, if you do need to start services, we can provide you with a private pay plan until she gets the services. We can have a caregiver come down anytime.
So how much would the private pay be as far as?
Do we have to have
a certain amount?
Let me find out for you. One second. One second. Just bear with me.
Sure.
How many hours would you do a week or a day?
Okay. Physical therapy is saying that she needs 24/7 care.
Okay. Is she willing to pay for a night caregiver and a day, or she just needs day? Oh.
I would say right now we will start with day care during the day. And maybe one of us will stay during the night.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just one second, okay?
Mm-hmm, sure.
I'm just talking to her right now. Okay, sir. Sorry. So, what's your number? Let me take that down.
267.
Mhm.
872-6323.
All right. Let me get back to you. All right. I'll give you a call back.
Well, today?
Yes. Mhm.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.